My castaway this week is the oldest star in rock music. Born 74 years ago in the Mississippi Delta, his resonant, deep-throated voice now has more than 100 blues albums to its credit. He comes from a family of southern sharecroppers. He ran away when he was 14 and he went on the road as a musician. Greatly revered by stars such as the Rolling Stones and Eric Clapton, his career seemed to have come to an end during the late 70s and the 80s, and then, at the age of 69, he came out with the album The Healer. It was one of the most astonishing comebacks in the history of the business. "I love people, small nightclubs and pretty women," he says. "After that, I just get on with singing." He is John Lee Hooker. Is that why you go on singing the blues as well as you do, John? Because you stay close to the things that you love?
I admit I do like pretty women. I admit that. That I wouldn't be a man, or whatever. Well, some of them don't, but I do. And people, the young people, trying to get them to see what the blues is all about.
But the blues, as I understand it, isn't about feeling blue, is it? It's about feeling better. It's about overcoming.
Better. That's what I try to get the people to see. Blues is not a downer. Blues is a healer. Get people to feeling better. When something on your mind really bothers you, you can put on some good blues. It soothes your mind. It picks you up, not put you down.
But have you got to have known what it's like to be blue in order to sing the blues? You've got to have suffered.
I didn't have to suffer to sing the blues. God gave me this great talent.
But was it born in you because you're born of an American black family who had generations before known about suffering? I mean, is it in you?
It wasn't black, it wasn't white, it's just something that automatic is a born blues singer.
But then people said, you know, that Elvis sang like a black man, that he sang the blues so well he might have been black.
I wouldn't say that. You don't have to be a color to sing the blues. Blues ain't got no color. So many white blues singers can sing the blues, like Joe Cochran. He's a born blues singer. Eric Clapton.
Do you, tell me this, do you have to have loved a good woman to sing the blues and to have lost her?
No, I didn't. When I was singing blues, I didn't even have a woman when I started. I was just a young kid. Very happy, very happy. I didn't know nothing about a hard time in a woman because I never was in love at that age. I could really sing the blues. Blues are based upon human being, life. The way the world is.
Tell me about the blues you want to take to this desert island with you. What's the first record that you'd like to play on your desert island?
Well, Muddy Waters is a great, great blues singer. He was a great fan of mine and a great friend. I definitely would have him out there. Put on some Muddy Waters blues and I'd sit there on the desert island. Nobody would mean my guitar. No woman, no nothing, but just my music.
Got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you. Got my mojo working, but it just won't work on you. I wanna love you so bad, I don't know what to do.
That was Muddy Waters and Got My Mojo Working.
Oh, I know them so well.
So you were, as I said in my introduction, John Lee Hooker, you were relaunched 6 years ago, weren't you, when you hadn't made any records for a long time.
For a long time, I dropped out.
And then suddenly you came back into fashion again with this album, The Healer. Was it a strange experience for you? Because you weren't doing anything different from what you'd always done, were you? It's just kind of fashion had come back around.
Well, you didn't anything different, but it must have been my time.
Again.
Yeah. I'm doing practically the same thing I did then.
The blues don't change, do they?
But never change. Like Old Man River, just keeps on rolling. I mean, I roll fast, but it just keeps on rolling.
But obviously it's very versatile because it fits in with all sorts of different styles.
Well, I'll tell you what, you may not agree with me there on this. Everything comes from the blues. All music is, blues is the root. Rock, ballads, rap. You're talking about a woman, the woman talking about a man. You're talking about heartache, she left me. or he loved me.
But what do you think of modern forms of music? What do you think of rap?
I don't like it. To me, it's just talking.
And what about disco music?
Disco has got really got a better beat than rap is. I got nothing wrong with rap, don't get me wrong. But it just ain't my bag. But disco, I kind of like it. But it's disco doing the same thing I'm doing it, but just different beats, but it's saying the same words.
Tell me about your next record.
Oh, Nothing But a Woman. Oh, that hits the nail on the head. That hits me. Nothing But a Woman. I love that. That's all I need. Nothing But a Woman. But he picked a good one then.
Robert Cray and Nothing But a Woman. If I've got this right, John, you're the son of a preacher, the brother of a preacher, and the father of a preacher?
I got a brother's a preacher, my father was a minister, now I got a son, Robert, you know, he's kind of a big preacher, and really I come from the church.
But you were brought up very much in sort of gospel singing.
Yes.
Spiritual singing.
I was taught very to be loyal in the church. I'm still a Christian. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I first sang spiritually with a group called Fairfield Four. When I go to church, people would be hollering and yelling when I started singing.
But your father didn't, if I understand it right, didn't like you singing at home, did he? He didn't like you
singing. Not
the blues.
The blues. They call it devil music. But it's no devil music.
But just tell me about your home then in those very early days. I said your family were sharecroppers. What does that mean? What was home and what was
you mean, what is sharecroppers?
Mm-hmm.
On a whole lot of land. They rent all that land. They had their own land. They raised their own fruit, their own pigs, their own cows, their own cotton.
But tell me about your home. What did you live in? How did you and the family live?
Well, we lived good. Something I don't like to talk about, but you ask me, I will. The South was bad, very bad back then. I know you read about it. But we was fortunate. I never went to hunger in a day in my life. And my dad was a big minister. He was loved by white. He was loved by everybody. He was a big, big man. Had his own land, had leased it. He was a big, big man, so we didn't see a hard time.
But eventually your parents separated, didn't they? And it
was
your stepfather.
Yes, and
who
I went.
Taught you to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about him.
Well, Wilmo, he's a great guitar player. What I'm playing now, that's what he played. He taught me to play what I'm playing now. I wish he was around to hear what he did for me.
But where had he learned to play the guitar? How did he know?
That's a good question. When I met him, he was playing. You play like this, don't play no fancy chord. Just pick up the guitar and play and sing. Forget about a book.
I read that you began by playing with a tire attached to a barn door, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to do that too.
That was before you got a guitar.
Yeah.
How old were you when you got your first guitar?
Oh, about 12.
You were obviously very ambitious to get out of that place, though, weren't you? Out of Clarksdale, Mississippi. You've said since that... You said two things, I can quote to you, if I may. Right from the start, I had a sense of being set apart from the rest. And you've also said, I felt that all over the world, everybody was going to know John Lee Hooker.
Yeah. I was kind of different from my other family. Yeah. I felt like I was going to really do things. I never doubted myself.
Tell me about your third record.
Me about Howlin' Wolf? And would I like to have it on the desert? Oh, yes. I would sit out there and listen to the Mighty Wolf, the Tail Dragger. That man got a voice like an angel. Play the Mighty Wolf a little bit.
They called me the howling wolf mama, and you found me howling at your door. They called me the howling wolf, baby, and you know you found me howling at your door.
That was Howling Wolf and Howling for My Baby. So, John Lee Hooker, you ran away from home when you were 14. Where did you go? How did you live?
At that age, you ain't scared of nothing. I left there one night. You know, I don't know how to put this to you, but when you're 12 and 13, 14 years old, you got nerve like a piece of steel. You ain't scared of nothing. Get out there. I left there one night with my guitar out of my stepdad at my mom's house. I wanted to be in the limelight. And I left there. I had $2 in my pocket that my stepdad had given me about 2 weeks before I left. That was a lot of money then. I mean, at that time, people weren't killing people and robbing people and hitchhiking. They wouldn't bother you. But I got a ride all the way to Memphis. Then I got a little job at the New Day, the picture show. You come in, I show you your seat. Just follow me, please. Had a little red suit, a red jacket. Looking real neat and cute. I did that for a long time.
How many years was it before you saw your mother again?
I saw her once more. Now I didn't see her again because she passed. But one more time and she passed.
How old were you when you saw her again?
Oh, I was a young man. No, but in my 20s, I would be.
But it wasn't until you were 28, I think, a few years after the war, that finally you were kind of discovered. You were asked to make a record, weren't you?
Well, you know, I had what it take, and this young man, Elmer Barbara, he discovered me. I was playing in a little club, house party, and he walked in. And he's looking at me. And he goes, come here, kid. I said, yes, sir. He had on a fine suit and suit. I said, yes, sir. He said, well, you sure sound good. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? I said, I'm working here and there. Can you come to my shop? I got a studio in there. I want to talk to you about recording, and I wanted. And we cut up a whole lot of this, including Boogie Children. We put that on a blank.
Boogie Children.
Yeah. And they gave me a contract. $2,000. I had never had that much money up front. I had never had that much money. I said, huh? Yeah, I was all rich, you know.
This was before it was a hit, so they recognized it, did they? They knew.
Well, you know when you sign a contract. I had about a 3-year contract. They knew they would get that money back and much, much, much more. Mm. I kept that check about 2 weeks going to show them to everybody. Look here. You see, I got $2,000. My landlady, she made me put it in the bank. The boy, you put that check, put that in the bank.
But it was a great hit. I mean, Boogie Chillin' sold a million, and then...
Oh, a million or more.
In the Mood, again,
and In the Mood sold, in the Mood for the big one.
So you were in the big time.
I was in the big time.
Yeah. Tell me about record number 4 now. What's that?
You Shook Me by B.B. I love it. Well, I can say he's one of the greatest, and I definitely would have him. I don't know the devil with me.
You shook me, baby. You shook me all night long. You shook me, baby. You shook me all night long. You kept on shaking me, baby, till you messed up my happy home. My happy home, my happy home.
What a funky.
That was B.B. King with my castaway, John Lee Hooker, and You Shook Me. You made the record Dimples, in 56 and Boom Boom in 62, both of which were huge in the
UK.
And you came over to live in London, I think, in the 60s.
About a year and a half, something like
that. What was it like then? I mean, it was where it was at, wasn't it? It was where it was at. It was the place to be in the 60s.
That was the place to be. I lived on Oxford Street upstairs, over a clothing store. That was the place to be in London. When I come over there, it was just like the president coming to town. Everybody was doing my stuff over there. Eric Braeden, Georgia Fane, and some everybody was doing my stuff over there.
The Animals and the Stones.
Animals and the Stones, John Lee Hooker, weren't they? Yeah, and when I come over there, it was just like a piece of jewel coming over there. And me and Eric used to run around, Eric Braeden, we used to hang out together, go to parties at night and party all night and go to the Q Club. They wouldn't open till 12, go on to the day. I was over there when this boy got grounded in the pool. What is his name? One of the Stones?
Brian Jones.
Yeah. I was over there when he got grounded in the pool.
But you also knew Bob Dylan, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. On the first one, put him on the bandstand.
Did you?
Right there in Gertie's Folk City in New York City. 11 West 4th Street. Bob wasn't doing anything, just hanging around in my apartment. One night I got him on the bandstand, 2-3 times in there. Albert Grossman heard him, and he signed Bob up.
So there you were, you know, through those important years, rubbing shoulders with the leading players of the time.
You know, that meant more to me than any money I got right now, those years.
Did it?
Any money I got.
Why, because you were happy?
I was happy. That meant a lot to you. But you can't relive them.
Let's have some more music.
Well, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I admired him so much. A young man with the guitar, the blues. He sounded like anybody. He sounded too much like Albert King. Oh, he could play that guitar, and I just loved him. He gone, but he ain't gone. To me, I would like to have him singing the flood down in Texas, and all the wires are down. It's flooding down in Texas. I like to hear him. I'd love to hear him sit in.
Well, I'm leaving you, baby. Hey. Lord, not coming back home to stay. Yeah, I'm leaving you, baby. Hey.
Flood Down in Texas, Stevie Ray Vaughan, John Lee Hooker. It is a very distinctive sound, both your voice and your guitar. It's very melancholy. Do you have a favorite way of hearing it described? People say it's very pure.
It's no way I can describe it. It's automatic. It's not in the book. I didn't get it on a book. It just come natural. That's the only way I can describe it to you. If I talked to you another hour, I couldn't make it no clear on that.
Some people say it has a lot to do with your hands, which are...
Not my voice.
No, but your guitar playing. That your hands are very big and very loose. You see, you can cross all your fingers, you're showing me.
Mm-hmm.
They're double-jointed, are they, your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody said it's almost as if there's no bones in them. They're like they're totally flexible.
Yeah, like that.
Can you therefore play chords that other guitarists can't?
I can do anything I want with it, just to learn.
And do you always play the same guitar, the same kind of guitar?
No, there are different kinds.
What sort do you play?
Epiphone, Gibson, Washburn.
People also say you're difficult to play with. Because you're unpredictable. They never know what you're going to do next.
That's right. I wanted to be like that. I can't play direct if I want to. Perfect. But I wouldn't be John Lee Hooker anymore. I can't if I want to.
What, you can make it possible for them to play with you if you want?
Perfect if I want to.
But you like leaving them behind, you?
Yeah.
You can't read a lot of writing, can you? So you have to take in your, learn songs yourself.
Right.
All your songs presumably are in your head.
Nobody gives me a song. I do it myself.
So every song that you ever sung is stored in your head?
Mine. I'm a genius. Nobody can write for John Lee Hooker.
But you did that, you did a couple of tracks on for Pete Townsend on The Iron Man, didn't you?
Yeah.
Based on the Ted Hughes poem. Now, how did you learn that?
He just told me, and I just went over it a few times, and I got good memories like an elephant.
So it's all in your head?
Yeah.
Record number 6.
Well, Eric Clapton, yeah. He's a big fan of mine, he always have been, when I loved it. That young man, the way he sounded. I still do right now. I wanted one day for to record with him, you know. I want him on my record one day. I know he'll do it, but just a matter of finding him and getting the time, and he'll, you know.
Layla from Eric Clapton when he was with Derek and the Dominoes. Women, we said at the beginning, John Lee Hooker, have played an important part in your life. How many times have you been married?
3 times too many.
3 times? What happened? They all wanted you to stop playing, did they?
How you know that? You must have read about that. Yeah. Well, you're on the road all the time and the... First thing jumping in a woman's mind that you are there with other women, and they didn't read about musicians, how they do, and how they play around. I was an angel, but I loved it, my wife, but they wanted me to quit playing music and just get a regular job. I said, no way, Jose. I will not do that. And so they split. Really, they did me a big favor when they did it. I couldn't do this, I couldn't do that. I couldn't write, I couldn't think. This way I can think. Like I told you, I'm a genius. I don't need... The blues is not in a book. It's not in on paper. It's here and here.
But you've got no wife now. You're happier without one, are you?
Oh, yeah.
You said that with enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. Well, it'd be the same thing if I had a... Be trying to stop me. Well, I'm already retired, and I wouldn't make any much difference now.
And what about your children? How many children have you got?
8 now.
8. And one of them is a preacher, we've said. Is there any of them in the music business?
Oh, Zakia. My daughter called Zakia. She's good.
What does she do?
Sing. And she's a good writer, too.
But she sings the blues, does she?
Oh, yeah.
She's inherited
but
the
not like my kind of blues, but she sings.
And you... You have all the trappings of success. You've got several homes, and you've got stretch limos and personalised number plates. And
oh, yeah, you know all that.
How much pleasure does all that give you? I mean, you say money isn't important to you, but...
No, it ain't. People. Friendship.
You're 75 this year, aren't you? How do you have fun? What's your idea of
how do I have fun?
Yeah.
I'm a baseball nut, and I love buying cars, I love TV, and women.
As long as they're not wives.
Right, yeah. You know what reputation musicians got on the road, they think on the road, and they telling these women that. So, hey.
Well, it's usually accurate, yeah.
You laugh. Yeah. Tell
me about your 7th record.
Oh, Albert King, the Crosscut Saw. He's my main man. If I was out there, I definitely would want him out there. Well, out there with my turntable but playing him.
I'm a crosscut saw. Just drag me across the line.
that was Albert King and Crosscut.
That was Albert King, the Crosscut Saw. Cut your wood so easy that you never know.
So we're going to send you to this desert island in a few minutes' time. Do you like the idea of leaving everybody and everything behind and being alone on a desert island?
Well, I'm not saying it because you asked me that. Yes. If there are no wolves and panthers and dogs out there, I would love to be out there with just me and my music and some food. You can think, not too long, but that's a good idea.
But if you were really stranded there for a long time, you know, would the blues help you? Would they help you?
Oh, definitely. Nothing else but the blues. Definitely it'll help me. Some blues and some food. All them records you play, they just play them. Just sit there, play the blues.
I wonder if you feel a certain responsibility as being one of the last original greats. Do you feel, you know, I mean, everybody's gone now, haven't they?
I wouldn't say I'm the last, but I'm next to the last. BB's pretty great.
Sure. Well, there's you and BB King, but there aren't many others, are there?
That's right. No others.
Do you feel a responsibility somehow? Do you feel?
No. I give in a lot. I don't feel no responsibility. I have covered all tracks.
But you don't stop working. You still play quite a lot when you feel like it.
Yeah, when I feel like it. I'm not, don't be obligated to play.
No.
I call my own shots when I want to.
So you enjoy playing when you play?
Nobody tells me, well, you got to do this. No.
So you enjoy playing when you play?
When I play, I enjoy.
And there are those who've said that probably that's where you'll meet your maker on the stage. You'll probably die on the stage. Does that idea appeal?
It probably will. Meet some maker on the stage or in my house with the music. You never retire completely from the blues, but you just retire off the road. You always get that urge to go out there and do a little something. Get that urge to get up and go around to where some blues clubs at. Get up there and sing, hear some blues and feel good, jump up there and grab the mic. You see something pushing you out your chair. First thing you know, you're up there, give me this mic. You don't know how you got there, but you're there, give me the mic. And you know one thing? I like the small clubs. I don't like no big, big, huge club. I like the little small nightclub with everybody around you, hooping and hollering. That's where I come from.
Tell me about your last record.
Bobby Bland? Oh, boy. Everything that man do, it chills me like he's got that voice. He got that voice that I don't know where he got it. I guess he like me. He don't know where he got it from. I don't know where I got mine from. But he has got that voice. But the older he get, the mellow he get. Mr. Bobby Bland. Play that one.
Said I'm had my fun, people. If I never get well no more, said my health is failing me. And I think I'm going down slow.
Going Down Slow with Bobby Bland.
Going Down Slow with Mr. Bobby. I call him Mr. Bobby Bland.
Mr. Bobby Bland. Now, if you could only take one of all those eight records, if you had to choose one favorite out of the eight, which one would it be?
That one there, I think.
Bobby Bland.
I hate to say it, but I would.
He's the greatest for you, is he?
Well, he may not be the greatest to a lot of people, but I admire that man so much down through the years. Don't give me the rest of them, but the rest of them is good, don't be wrong. But you got to have a favorite.
Now, you're allowed, according to our rules, to take a book to this desert island as well, but I know you don't read, but is there any...
Well, some things I can.
Is there any kind of book you'd like to take?
A book with a lot of pictures with pretty women in it.
Okay. And you're allowed one luxury?
My guitar.
Of course. What else?
Well, a human being, or?
No. I mean, what else would you take but your
My
guitar?
Music.
I didn't need to ask. Your music's in your head.
Right.
You take your guitar for your
right.
luxury.
Ain't nothing else I could take. Well, take food.
No, you can't have anything else. You take your guitar, you starve. But you got the blues.
Well, how long could you stay out there without food?
Not long. But you'd have your music. John Lee Hooker, thank you very much indeed for letting us hear your Desert Island Discs.
You're welcome, and I'll see you in my prayer.